Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable once again to our third hour and, of course, to our book pick segment. Normally, we meet on Tuesdays. This week, because of the anniversary and the commemoration of the Tulsa race riots, we moved things around and asked our wonderful bookseller this week, Kara Wisner, if she could do it on Thursday instead of Tuesday after the holiday, and she said yes. So that is why we changed things around, but we're thrilled that you are here for this installment. It is Tuesday. No, it's Thursday, and it's time for book picks. And we go to an independent bookseller to tell us what is cool. Kara Wisner is cool and tells us all about these incredible volumes. She has quite a list. It grew. I had it down in the script, and then it grew overnight. It multiplied.
I think I switched one.
Yeah. It's okay. It's good. I'm glad you're excited about it. We're excited too. Merritt Bookstore in Millbrook, New York. Kara, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. It's great to hear your voice in person. I'm excited about these books. I was so happy that you guys were honoring the holiday on Tuesday, and was really, really happy to switch to Thursday. So here we are.
Here we are. So where would you like to begin?
I don't know. Maybe menopause.
Let's start with menopause.
Let's start with menopause. So there's a new book out. It's called The Menopause Manifesto, and it is by Dr. Jen Gunter. And it is an amazing book because, you know, puberty was like talked about like all our lives and with kids, and everybody really talks about like those changes, and there are movies about it and books and things like that. And menopause gets some attention, but not as much. And it's really almost like the same thing. It's like puberty in reverse. And a lot of us go through it, and it takes a long time. And it's really unpredictable, where puberty has like, you know, things that kind of sort of happen and you can see them. And menopause, like a lot of the things are internal and confusing. So we're really happy to have this book out. It's called The Menopause Manifesto. Everything is explained, lots of different guidelines about like what you should be doing, like what you should be talking to your health professionals about and things like that. And just kind of, again, bringing it to the topic of conversation, the way people are talking about periods more and abortions and miscarriages and all these things that kind of were swept under the rug. Is like these, these are things that the more we understand, the more we understand what's going on with our bodies, probably the happier and the healthier we are.
Well, it's the name of the book is The Menopause Manifesto by Jen Gunter, and it is now out. I respect anyone who writes a manifesto. I've said that before. I just, like, good for them. Go team. All right, next up.
All right. Let's go quickly, amusingly, to We Are What We Eat, saying in the manifesto thing, A Slow Food Manifesto by Alice Waters.
There you go.
Alice Waters writes a lot. She writes a lot about food. Sometimes it's very precious. In general, what I'm very excited about with this book is that she's slowing down, and I'm noticing in all different families, families with parents who work a lot, families with parents who don't work a lot, families with kids, kids who are on screens, kids who are doing homework, kids who are playing sports, things like that, this idea that when we come home, like dinner has to be fast, or, you know, we don't have that much time to cook, or we're going to spend time doing other things and then like call out for pizza, which is delicious at times. But I feel like one of the things the pandemic created was a lot of togetherness time without screens, but also a lot of time where parents have been sent the message, we really all have, that like, well, our screens are the way we connect, and so it's okay to be on them more. And I think we were, and I think it was fine. And I think that there's like a correction, the way they talk about like a correction in the stock market. I feel like there could be a correction now in some of our screen use. And I'm hoping that this idea of cooking food together, whether you prepare it one time to heat up another time, like for the times you don't have time, but, you know, processed foods, things like that, in the end, those things cost more. And her big message is that prepping food is togetherness. It's simple if you make it simple. And if you're not eating a ton of meat and some of more expensive ingredients like that, you know, it is as affordable as things that you would get that are kind of sort of at the ready. I'm seeing this as like a relationship book, like even like for a couple or a family or as a parenting book. I'm seeing this more about people and relationships almost than food.
We Are What We Eat, A Slow Food Manifesto by Alice Waters. All right, next up.
All right. All right. Next up, not a manifesto, but an amazing book by Clint Smith called How the Word is Passed, A Reckoning with the History of Slavery Across America. And Clint Smith, he has a TED Talk that's pretty famous where he talks about being raised as a Black boy in society and what he could do and what he could not do based on, you know, the color of his skin and not the burden, but the responsibility and maybe the burden at that place, right? So like running around with friends in a parking lot with water guns was not something he could do. And he is now taken to looking at slavery and how we talk about slavery in this country. And he goes to like six different places. He goes to Monticello, to Thomas Jefferson. He goes to the Whitney Plantation. He goes to Angola and some other places. And he talks to people and he listens at the plantations, especially. He listens to how the guides are explaining to people about slavery and what happened. And he's looking for people's reactions. And then he talks with some of those people. That's part of it. But that was the part that I thought I would talk about now a little bit. And this idea that, you know, people, you know, forget sometimes when you go to, you know, to Monticello that, you know, Thomas Jefferson was a slaveholder and he had a lot to say about it. And he had ideas that were not all abolitionist ideas. And, you know, he was responsible for a lot of, you know, families being separated and, you know, this kind of sort of romantic story or romanticized view of his relationship with Sally Hemings, I think is something that takes precedence in the way we hear the story and we learn about Jefferson. But there's so much more and it's not all pretty. And part of our understanding the difference of what the story we were told and what the real story is, and then understanding why that story was told and why we like it or why we don't like it and what we can do about it next. So this is an important book and I like is such a silly word, but I felt like reading it made me better and smarter, I hope.
Clint Smith is the author of How the Word is Passed, Reckoning with the History of Slavery Across America. All right, next up.
All right, let's go for a second. I listened to two books in the past month, and that's something that I hadn't really done that much. I always felt the couple times I tried to listen, it was so long, and even though I drive, I don't drive that much. But somehow something has flipped the switch for me. And like most independent bookstores, we partner with Libro FM for audiobooks, and we have access to them also. And I found that listening, you know, if you can find time to be that you're alone, whether it's driving or cleaning or gardening or cooking or organizing or even little bits and bursts, I found I could do it now somehow. And so the first book that I listened to was called Somebody's Daughter. It's a memoir by Ashley Ford. And she grew up with a father who was incarcerated. And this is her memoir of her growing up with her mother and her brother and the relationship she had with her father through letters and then the eventual relationship she has with her father in person. She is able to cut through the events that happened to her and translate them into words where you almost feel like they're happening to you, but in a way where you can think about it and feel for her as a child, as an adult, and almost experience it. And she reads this book. And so it was interesting to hear her read her own writing and tell her story. It's like getting to spend time with someone who's just talks and you listen, right? Like, I hope this will make me a better listener in general. And she moves through all the different events in her life that are struggling and also the idea of writing and her permission to write. Like when you write memoir, you know, a lot of these people are still alive and around. And she asked all the questions and she wrote all the things that I would have asked her if we were talking in person. So this is a really powerful memoir and I recommend it highly.
Excellent. All right. We have about 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes. So I want you to best use that time, Kira.
Okay. The Copenhagen Trilogy by Tove Ditlevsen is another super powerful. It's called autofiction, so it's kind of memoir, but it's kind of changed a little bit. We have it at the shop. It's definitely worth a read. There's a book called The World Gives Way that I also listened to, which is a great kind of end of the world, novel. There's a book called Early Morning Riser, which is just like a lovely, kind of beautiful, I don't want to say easy read, but I'll say easy read. It's just like you wanted to start the summer off with something kind of sort of like straightforward. And then let's go to In the Heights. So In the Heights is a play, a musical written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, Chiara Alegría-Hudas, and Jerry, and those two. And then they have a book out, which includes then the writer Jeremy McCarter, who's a journalist. And this In the Heights Finding Home is about the making of the movie. And the movie really translated the musical into something really spectacular and took on a few more of the issues that are going on in our world now. And there's this fantastic, beautiful book written about it. And if you buy the book, then you get a ticket to a virtual event with those three writers. And so that is really exciting.
It is really exciting.
Yeah. Our YouTube channel now for Merit Bookstore is a place where some author interviews have started to live and more are coming. I've titled my book show kind of Books of Merit. And we're switching from those instead of like live events because they're tricky. I know not just got there. You know, live events are very tricky. And no matter how clear our schedules are, like one more Zoom is hard. And coming out in person, even though everyone's excited about it, is also hard. And so I'm finding that I can really talk with authors and really get deep. And if we are just talking, and then it can live someplace and we can watch it. And so we have a great one up with Heartwood authors Barbara Becker and my Salinger Year, Joanna Rakoff, and some others you can see there.
Well, I'm learning that Kira's giving me competition in the interviewing authors.
Oh, no.
And that's all right.
No.
It's all good. We welcome many people to talk about great books. So we're out of time, but I want to thank you for being with us. I also want to remind people that they can go to your website, meritbooks.com, and visit them in Millbrook. Kira Wisner, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Be well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You too. Okay, take care.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.